Hello and welcome to Chips of Chorlton. I am joined by Andy.
Hello.
Duncan. And Robin.
Hi.
Hi, off the band The Chunkles. We're going to do a little mini podcast again because we've rehearsed, haven't we, again?
Yeah.
And we are rehearsing to perform on Mark Riley today, basically. Oh. I'm going to release it on the day that we're going to, which is the Monday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we're going to, yeah, so, so we're playing Mark Riley later on this evening, basically, guys.
All right, how'd it go?
What do you mean? Do you not get that? We're playing Mark Riley.
I get it.
It's all right.
Oh, man. And you wonder why no one listens to this fucking podcast.
Well, no, I don't think anyone's listening to anything anymore, so it's okay.
So you didn't say the name of this extra little portion.
Yeah, it's called Scraps, isn't it?
We call it Scraps?
Scraps.
Mm. Yeah, just call it Scraps. Sorry, the levels are all over the show here, lads. So we call it Scraps then. Do you want to? Yeah? So
yeah, you episode,
yeah, we'll call it Scraps. Yeah. So what? Should we talk about what we? The three of us went to a gig of all things. I haven't been to a gig for ages, and we went to see Stealing Sheep. Yes, and they were absolutely excellent. I just thought we'd mention that to kick off the pod. They were absolutely fantastic.
You were saying before the gig that you were quite sure it was the first gig you'd been to post lockdown, and I was like, "Are you really sure about that? Because it's been a long time since then."
I know.
And have you thought about that? Was it really that?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So Primavera, obviously. Was my first gig. I had a bit of a general problem going to gigs anyway for a while. But yeah, that's the first gig I've been to for.
Was it gas?
No, it gas? Wasn't. It was gas. Depression. Duncan. Oh. Well, you can make fun out of it.
No, I'm not.
we can go down that way if you want. But no, so I haven't been to a gig for ages. I've been to a gig for ages, and it was really good, wasn't it? They were excellent.
They were very good. I thought it was the first show of their tour, which by the time this comes out will already be quite a few. It'll be nearly over.
I think so.
I thought it was really good. But obviously, you know, because it was the first night of their tour, I think they were trying to. They were still, because the venue had changed. It was supposed to be at Gorilla, then it was at Yes, and then it got moved to the Yes Basement for unforeseen circumstances in the Pink Room. But they've all of a sudden they had a very different stage, I think, to figure out what their live show is, because they've incorporated a lot of choreography into it
and costume
changes.
Yeah,
and props. And I was all for it. I thought it was an excellent. It's been years since I've seen him, and that's been purely out of, you know, just scheduling, essentially. You know, they were supporting, was it Alton Gunn, I think?
Right.
A few months back, they invited me to go see them there at the Ritz, but I had work on, so I couldn't make it happen.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen him in years, so it just felt like seeing a brand new band in a lot of ways. Yeah. Although at the end, I was like, they didn't play Not Real. So it's a brand new band, but I could tell what they didn't play.
Yeah, and I hope they come around again, you know what I mean, so I can, you know, and they don't go from technical problems in the venue upstairs, wasn't there?
I don't know what was going on there. It was a great vibe though. Yeah. And their support
really
band, their support band.
Oh yeah, dog show.
Whilst I was looking after my 3-month-old and in no way having any FOMO, I saw on Instagram lots of people post about that. The dog band, what are they called again?
Dog show.
Dog show. They look really interesting.
Yeah, it had like a portable stage that went through the crowd. Yeah.
Yeah, what? It's the brothers, Sam and Laurie Cromie, who run, I think I'm saying that surname right, who run Invisible Wind Factory, and they've done like kind of installations within their musical projects before, like that, you know, like that kind of the standing they had for Dog Show.
It was cool.
They've done other such kind of contraptions before, so it's amazing to kind of, it seemed like an ultimately streamlined one. It feels like this feels like a real winner.
Yeah,
and it was really good fun.
Yeah.
Really good fun.
Yeah, it was.
And I thought, like, yeah, Stealing Sheep set was fun.
Yeah,
it was really good gig. And like, considering how eclectic their back catalogue is now, they managed to make it all fit. You know, they played something off each album, and all worked. Yeah,
yeah, it was excellent. Okay, so let's talk about what is happening this evening, if you would.
No, you don't get it, Andy.
Okay, so we're going to be on Mark Riley. So I'm going to put this show out on November the 20th. Is it 8th?
Today.
9th? Today, yeah. Whatever today is.
28th.
And I think it's the fourth or fifth time that even I've played Mark Riley. And Mark Riley was the first person outside of Dutch Uncles, and maybe you're in a circle, to probably get Dutch Uncles and really take one board, wasn't he? So you've had a long standing relationship.
I'd say he gets them more than I do.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah, yeah. So when was the first time you played on Riley? When was that?
Who wants to go first on this?
I don't know. So Robin will know.
It'll be like, it was when the first album came out. Yep. So like
2008?
Yeah, early 2009 maybe.
Yeah, so because Pete's number was the one that was attached to the press release.
Yeah, Pete got a phone call on New Year's Day.
Yeah, so he got a phone call on New Year's Day from Mark Riley asking to do a session on New Year's Day 2009, and he just told him to fuck off.
He thought it was a prank call. And
yeah, like, he thought it was a prank call, didn't believe it was him.
Why was Riley ringing up? I always thought that. Like, why did he ring up? Surely, like, he doesn't ring up every band that he doesn't know and book.
Well, we don't know, but I mean...
Considering it was the first one, yeah, maybe that is what he
is old school. Yeah, he is old school in the way that, you know, he gets sent the CDs, he goes through them. You know, it's not about having your people listen to it on your behalf. Like, he gets through it all himself.
It's his show.
So, I can believe it.
Yeah.
I've
never thought about that before. you're right.
I say I can believe it, but I've also, I can, because I've also borrowed his family saws for cutting down furniture when I was moving house.
Family saws?
Like a family heirloom saw.
Family saws, right?
Yeah, it was like...
Some sort of cold saw.
I needed a saw to cut down some old IKEA furniture. And he was like, you can borrow my family heirlooms. Like the Riley family
That's
saw.
Pressure.
I know.
To use someone's family heirlooms to destroy something.
It really was something. So, but I can definitely believe him ringing up Pete from that experience.
Yeah, asking him to do a session, then asking him if he needs a family saw.
Yeah.
So isn't there something when the first time you played on Riley, didn't he introduce the show? Hi, this is Mark Riley, and this is Dutch Uncles, and you went into Jetson or something. Isn't that what he did? He just sort of threw you right into it straight away.
Might have been something like that. Yeah,
I think I remember.
Like,
listening.
Changed the format a bit, and we played right at the start of the show.
Yeah. I've got a feeling that definitely happened when we played Cadenza. This is a remarkable little factoid for us, one for the bragging rights, is that we were the last ever band to do a session at the old BBC building.
It's true.
On Oxford Road.
There you go.
And that was when we did Cadenza. We opened on Cadenza that time. I remember it because it was that album, wasn't it?
Yeah. Is that when we did Stop the Cavalry as well?
Ooh, maybe.
Which still
gets an airing.
Oh, God. It's so bad. I want to put it out there that we had...
You have to explain what it is first.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
So it was a Christmas session. We were doing a session around this time, 10 years ago or whenever it was.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
And basically, Six Music asked us. Did they ask us like 24 hours ahead of time?
Yeah. Mm. Can you do a Christmas cover?
Yeah, because we're asking live bands just to do a Christmas cover. Yeah. You know, we'll just play it once or twice. Nothing much. And we were like, all right, sure. So we learned Stop the Cavalry.
But
it sounds like Sparks doing it in a K-hole.
So yeah. We worked it out and then recorded it. And it's like, is that it? It's like, yep. It's like, oh. And then they play it every year.
Yeah, it still gets played every year.
Then people tweet like, what the fuck is this? Like,
quite right that they do.
It's like our very own version of Whamageddon.
Yeah,
it happens every year. Like sometimes it's left a little late, but there'll just be that play on like the 22nd of December. It's like just ping right in the group chat. It's happened every year.
Yeah, and you've also done some, some quite intricate kind of sets. You've got the the vibes out on certain things. You've done really, some different...
Oh, the Malik cut.
The Malik cut.
You mean our glorified Crisp Holder?
No, that's what's happening now. But didn't you do like a version, Fragrant on the proper,
Glockenspiel. Yeah, that's the acoustic.
You've done some, yeah.
Have oh, we done
yeah,
that?
Yeah, we did with...
You just don't remember anymore.
No, of course I don't remember. I mean, I do remember.
I remember the shit when it goes wrong.
I do remember Johnny Brady being with us on the first Riley session.
Right.
I think we did a session with Margit as well. Margit played cello.
Yeah. This bit you've done
I
a lot.
I can't remember.
Well,
I
want to say we've done maybe a dozen or so. Like we were trying to, because we were picking out the songs to play for this one tonight.
Yeah.
And we were trying to like go through the old track list because we do want to, I mean, there's been ideas to play one song from Big Balloon, which we have never played ever before, not even live, which we have learnt now in ready to go in
half learnt,
kind of.
Yeah.
Half learnt. All right. right? Yeah. As well as, like, you know, just finding that good mix of, like, new tunes as well as, like, what older tunes can we put together which will make it feel a bit more.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, we've been very experimental whenever we've sort of done a Riley one. There's that full band version of A Chameleon from the last album, which we did do live on. That's the only one. That's as far back as I could go for some reason in my research, which is not... is me being not a very good researcher.
I think the one we did with Margie and the cellos and the marimbas was that trying to like push a failing tour. We were trying to sell
the Out of Touch in the Wild orchestra tour.
Was that it? Or was there another
one where we did like Islington Assembly Hall? Like, you know, I think someone said, you know, tickets are down the shitter, so, you know.
well, they were in Leicester.
So if you live in Leicester, please.
Those tickets never went up in Leicester, so.
Well, nothing went up. Things only went down. And I'm talking about that anemic lasagna.
Oh, God. I don't think I've...
Talked about this before?
Probably. I don't want to...
Alien autopsy lasagna. Yeah.
It was like that. It's like that scene in Independence Day where they do the biopsy on the alien and they like cut through its sort of bionic armour and it's just this little head poking out.
So we had obviously charged through the nose to play in Leicester. Because we were paid for three properly trained session musicians on a string trio. Yeah,
who've been on tour with Elbow, you know, strings.
Well, they've been on tour with Ryushi Sakamoto and David Sylvian. They had done Elbow before they got booted out for Haller.
Yeah,
all that was going on. So, you know, we obviously our costs were up on that, and only a few venues could pick us, and we played some smaller. I remember we played Brighton Comedia on that tour, didn't we?
Yeah, that was good.
And that was low ceiling. I was worried those bows were going to go into the roof. But yeah, for some reason Leicester held on to the offer. They could have cancelled. They probably should have. But no tickets happened, and obviously they were trying to cut their losses by the time we even got there. So our dinner, our hot meal, as requested on the rider, was just a gigantic lasagna, microwavable lasagna with no microwave to be seen anywhere, just on a hot plate. Warming up
there.
Oh, so slowly
for all day.
6 hour slow cooked lasagna on a hot plate.
But who was the support band?
Outfit.
And they ate it.
They gegged the whole fucker whilst we were on stage.
And they hadn't eaten for like days.
So just as we were trying to make our big stand at the end of the night, like, by the way, you call that a rider? That's a disgrace. And they went, you still ate it. It's like, no, we didn't. What are you talking about? So cheers, Outfit, for that. But no, we had to apologise profusely to the string players and then had to find the nearest takeaway we could get, which was Subway. So we went over to Subway and dropped about 40 quid. Yeah. Dropped about 40 quid on subs.
And tour manager Musco put it all on his Subway card.
And I took that card.
Did you?
Good lad. Yeah. I didn't even touch it for like years as well. Saving it for a special occasion. Didn't really count for much, to be honest.
I teched for you for that tour and that was a particular low light.
I think it was only a 5-day tour.
Yeah.
And four of the dates were pretty good.
That one was just
slap bang in the middle. Like,
it was just we overthought it a bit. And like when you're trying to, it felt like a marketing ploy almost. It's like Dutch Uncles and the, you know, whatever it was, light orchestra. It's
out
like,
of touch.
It wasn't. I mean, at that time, that should have just been our setup anyway. You know, like it was just pushed in a really sort of like a cynical way, but like it wasn't particularly truthful.
No, you're right. Like I think that's...
Yeah, I mean, it was marketed as an orchestra and we got a string trio. But
Wait. It wasn't an orchestra. It was the Out of Touch in the Wild orchestra. That can be whatever the fuck we want it to be.
Yeah, but when you use the word orchestra, it's more than three.
Were you expecting timpani?
Yes.
Oh. Right, okay. At Brighton Comedia.
Yeah. Tim Pot Timpani.
Yeah. Oh, that's going to stick.
Yeah.
But you're right. I do recall feeling like, certainly like kind of watching in sound check, just seeing how it sounded coming out when, like, you know, hearing everyone playing Brio. Stuff like that with the string trio. It was like, yeah, this is just how we should sound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because this is what it is on the record. So it was a lovely feeling to be like...
Sure. I think, you know...
It was a vision realised.
It was maybe just a bit overthought and overambitious. You know, everything we seem to do is either overthought or underthought. Never quite in the middle.
We are never in the middle. I take much pride in that. Yeah. You know,
bringing it back to Riley, we're just saying that we did A Chameleon on Riley... a full band version, didn't we? I think I was on that. That was. We've been playing it on the garbage tour.
Yeah, that was my second time
On Riley. I think the first time I'd only played guitar for you for about 6 weeks. And for anyone, you know, anyone, it's a privilege to go on Riley, right? It's a privilege to play on Six Music and do it live and stuff like that. But it's absolutely terrifying at the same time. And I don't think, you know, so I'm, again, I'm lucky enough to have done it. This is probably my fifth time with you guys. And every time is as equally terrifying. And it never really gets any easier, does it?
Nope.
You know what I mean?
That red light comes on.
And it is really, it is real.
Are you suggesting we're going to get nervous tonight?
Yes, I'm kind of nervous. Right, so when the one that does stick out was the big balloon campaign, if you like, and they filmed it, and it's on YouTube and it's there forever. And I've always got this thing we'd always do.
There was a lot of pressure on that one.
Yes, there was, wasn't there?
I don't think we'd ever really done a session that had that much pressure on it before.
Yeah,
was it some sort of like BBC anniversary or Six Music anniversary or something?
Yeah,
something specific for it. I can't remember.
I think it was the way we sort of went about things with that one. It was definitely like I think because we did the session before, we'd even known if Big Balloon was going to make playlist and stuff like that, and it really felt like a lot was riding on that moment, and especially after with the way we felt after Oh Shudder as well. I think, you know, because Big Balloon was written as quite a quick reaction to like, you know, the feeling of where did everything go. Because that was the other thing. Yeah, we didn't get anything playlisted with Oh Shudder, did we?
No.
It was like, you know, it was really a step back in what we were trying to do. So there was a lot of pressure on that session. And filming it as well was just like, oh God. So everyone got the matching jackets out, of course, ready to go up in flames.
For the radio.
Yeah. I think the first two gigs of that campaign were both filmed. There was one on the BBC Scotland.
Oh, God.
And then, in fact, there was a third one that was filmed.
Oh, Low Four.
Is the Low Four. So it's probably like three out the first seven times we played.
Yeah, that wasn't filmed.
And it's just like, oh, but the Low Four one is actually okay. You know what I mean? When I look back, back at the BBC Scotland one and the Riley one recently, and they do get better. And that's the thing that I think about when you start off on like an album campaign, do your promo, go to Riley, and we're not as good now as we will be in 12 months' time, because we're still kind of figuring these songs out, how to play them, aren't we? And it's weird dynamic, isn't it?
That's the same kind of chicken or egg conundrum about, well, not chicken or egg, but you know what I mean. It's the same sort of conundrum that you have about recording. When's the right time to record an album? How much should you, like, how much of the song, I mean, obviously the question is when you're ready to record, that's when you record.
Yeah.
But in terms of, like, from my perspective as the singer, we did one band practice together as all six of us before we recorded True Entertainment. One.
Yep.
That is one time where I've actually sung my lyrics with you guys in a live setting.
Yeah.
One time.
It's mad, yeah.
And we didn't even do all the songs. I think we only did about three or four.
Yeah.
So the rest of it was just everyone just recording their part. I mean, you guys had rehearsed together. So musically, you were tight. Vocally, I'd just been singing away in my kitchen for a year. But, you know, was it going to work together? Like, what was it going to be like finally putting it together? Like, that was ridiculous, wasn't it? I've completely forgotten where I was going.
But it's the same when, and now we're in that same position, aren't we?
And now we're in that position of going, now it's a position of, well, you're presenting yourself as live. Yeah. For the Big Balloon stuff, we really should have done a gig or two somewhere, because I remember thinking Streetlight really kind of struck an emotional chord with me around that time.
Yeah.
It was still, you know, still quite a raw sort of vibe.
Yeah.
This is the word of our time. And so I didn't know how I was going to feel or react to that BBC Scotland gig. It was just seated crowd on after a local band that people had actually shown up for. I'm sure people were actually there who'd ever really heard of us. I don't really feel like we even had fans there. I think we just had people that wanted to be on TV wanted to be in a TV audience or something.
Yeah.
So it really, that's not to say it was a cold audience. I'm not saying that, but it definitely felt like there was a long way to go in terms of, do you actually know who we are?
Yeah.
Like, but I mean, our best memories of it are when we sound checked the Blue Nile cover Stay, and the lads that were sorting out the lighting were just like, oh, canny.
Yeah. Yeah.
I still think it's better this way round.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we've probably put more practices into it than we would usually if it was in the middle of a tour.
Definitely.
And like, not that like complacency is the wrong word, but like maybe like going through the motions sometimes
you know, when it's in the middle of a tour, in the middle of a campaign, whereas you do it now, it feels special, you rehearse for it, you prepare, and that sort of nervousness will drive it through and I think ultimately make it better.
Yeah.
Then for me as well, like, I don't want to be too relaxed about it. I'd prefer to be like, you know, like thinking about the song as in, you know, the arrangement and getting through it, and then just thinking about that sweet pint at the end of it.
Pint. We're still trying to find a bloody place that's open on a Monday. I know. For tonight.
Write in if you know.
Yeah. I'm not nervous about the performance tonight at all, really, because I feel like we've had enough years out, and I think the podcast has really helped in terms of us just, I don't want to be too pro podcast because it's a weird culture, even though obviously we're part of it and I do listen to a significant amount of it as well. But like, as a podcaster, you know, as a content creator.
Yes,
thank you, dear boy. As a content creator, I've really found it's just helped me be a lot more relaxed in terms of, you know, you don't, so occasionally you get the fear, oh shit, what did I say the night before? And it's on record.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever. But, like, for the most part, definitely feels as if a voice, a timbre has been found now. So when it comes down, like, I've known Riley, well, we've all known Riley for years. Yeah. But I moved to... should I have said that? No, he doesn't live there. when I moved to the same postcode as he lives during lockdown, he was the only person I knew there. Like, kind of, you know, we ended up hanging, like, every time I was actually left the house, I kept bumping into him at first, and then when it came to actually going out to have a drink somewhere, it'd be like, who's the person to have it with? It's him and family and things of that nature. So, like, you know, I've got to know Mark and the family, like, really well in that time, and I'm just wondering, like, whether when it comes down to the show, like, this is the one thing I'm nervous about, I suppose, is when it's on and the red light's on, it'll be like, right, introduce the band. And, like, I always feel like we're going to, in previous sessions we've had, I always feel like we're going to have, like, a real kind of quite a long conversation about this thing or that thing. But it always ends up, you have to remember it's radio. So it always ends up only lasting about 60 seconds. And you always feel like, oh, did I finish on the right note there? Sorry, mate. Like, it always feels as if you're kind of not, I don't know. I'm just worried, like, if there was the one thing to be nervous about, it's just that.
More nervous about the chat than the actual playing the songs, you know, that's always the thing.
Yeah.
Making sure you don't say any swears.
Oh, sod that. You're right. Well, it's easy to turn the no swears mode off.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, like, because the first question will always be, introduce the band. Kind of want someone else to do it tonight, as opposed to me doing it, but...
It's got to be you, mate.
It's got to be me.
You can't really get out of that. Of
course, you and Riley will be there afterwards, giving each other nuggies.
Where's my saw?
Where's my saw, you bastard?
Yeah, so I think talking of firsts in COVID as well, we all went for a drink, didn't we, with Mark, in somewhere by where he lives that I won't mention. I think that was one of the first times that I actually went out in the COVID, you know, sort of went out beyond... sort of walking down the local or what have you. So yeah, so he's
definitely bleep out where he lives.
I'll bleep out where he lives.
It's not you shouldn't, we're doxing him here. Is that the phrase? Am I saying that right?
So we saw him, you know, obviously lovely. He's been, even, you know, to me as joining late into the whole Dutch Uncle journey, he's been amazing with me, really friendly and things.
Imagine
like
if
that.
He wasn't. Imagine if he was just like,
he's that prick. Why did you get rid of the other fella? He's a dick. Just imagine if he said that. That'd be fantastic. Let's wrap it up there then. So thanks very much for this little chit chat, guys. Thanks to Robin, Duncan and Andy, and we will be on Mark Riley this evening, and maybe we'll do a podcast on what it was actually like. We should do some TikToks or something.
Another scraps
and what it was like. Okay, but thanks very much, and we'll speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.